our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you,
Lord Christ.
Soon after healing the centurion's slave, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was with him. And with her was a large crowd in the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not grieve." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said to the man, "I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. He received all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A prophet, a great prophet, has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word of God is spread throughout the Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Well, as you know, 2016 is an election year. You're probably aware of that, very aware of that. We will be electing a new president this coming November, and for us, elections are not something that's unusual. We elect city council people. We elect state representatives and state senators, congressmen and U.S. senators, vestry members, club presidents, all sorts of things. We elect them to office, to have authority. And we have a process for electing these representatives and leaders. And we would find it unacceptable for someone all of a sudden to just announce, "I'm the mayor. I'm the senator, I'm the president," without having gone through some sort of process. We would find it unacceptable if they just started doing things that mayors did or senators did and presidents do. I think we would not like that. But that's kind of what the Apostle Paul does, or at least that is how it's perceived by some people. He goes around teaching about Jesus Christ seemingly without any authorization from anyone to do that. And here in Galatians, Paul explains why he has that authority to do it and his response to his critics. What was the process to become an apostle? You know, Paul claims to be an apostle. We know that Jesus chose disciples, some of whom became known later as apostles. And in the book of Acts, these apostles have to choose somebody to replace Judas. And so you would think there'd be some sort of vetting process, but they select two people, and then they cast lots. You know, they throw dice to choose the next apostle. In the early church, they were the ones who had followed Jesus during his earthly ministry and were the early leaders of the church, and they had the authority to teach and to instruct and to admonish. And this is what Paul did. And today I'd like to spend some time on not just Paul's message, but on who Paul was and what he did, the nature of God's call to him, and how God chose the right person. Because God chose the right person to do this missionary work. Today is the second in a series of sermons on Galatians that I'm doing this month of June. And as I said last week, at some point earlier in his missionary work, the Apostle Paul had established the churches in Galatia, modern-day Turkey. These churches were made up of what were Gentile converts to the faith. And he taught them that through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, they too could be made part of the people of God without having to be circumcised or follow the food laws. But then he left. He left those churches. He went on continuing his mission, went elsewhere. And then sometime later, some other Jewish Christian missionaries showed up and told the Galatians that Paul, at least in part, was wrong. That he was wrong. That yes, they could be made members of the people of God, but the men would have to be circumcised and they would all have to follow the tenets of the law. And in addition, they questioned Paul's authority to teach because he was not one of the original disciples or apostles. And so their questions could have been along the lines of, what would Paul know? What would this person Paul know about Jesus Christ? He's the guy who went around persecuting the church. What would he know about Jesus? He never sat at the feet of Jesus or spent time with Jesus as some of the other apostles had. And he persecuted the church violently. It's that we sang in the hymn that Saul, he was the spoiler coming to spread fear and hate. So how would he know about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, in this section of Galatians that we heard read, Paul claims all this. He owns his past. He doesn't deny his past. He reminds the Galatians of what they had already probably heard about him. I was violently persecuting the church of God, and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. You know, Paul, in his zeal for upholding the traditions of the ancestors, he persecuted the church. He tried to destroy the church. But then, something happened. Something unexpected happened. And he tells the Galatians that God revealed his Son to him. He, in fact, did not sit at the feet of Jesus or follow Jesus from Galilee down to Jerusalem. He was not there with Jesus. He's not one of the people depicted in the Last Supper up there. But something nevertheless amazing happened to him that changed the course of his life. And according to Paul, what happened was that God had set him apart from before he was born. So he's kind of like Jeremiah and Isaiah, who say similar things, that they were set apart by God before they were born. Well, God did the same thing with him, Paul says, and that God was pleased to reveal his Son to him so that he might proclaim Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. It was, as he said at the beginning of the letter, that the gospel he proclaimed was not of human origin. He did not receive it from a human source, nor was it taught to him. He received all this from Jesus Christ himself through a revelation of Jesus Christ. God revealed his Son to him so that he might proclaim the gospel or proclaim Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. It is as if his conversion is in order for him to be the one to proclaim Jesus Christ. His call is not just to become a Christian, to follow Jesus Christ, but part and parcel with that call is to be the missionary to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people of that time. His call and his mission are the same. They go together, and they completely changed his life. Now, some of us may have had a profound experience in our lives that changed the course of our life, the direction we were going in. For some people of a particular generation, seeing Elvis Presley or hearing one of his songs upended their lives. John Lennon, Bruce Springsteen, both credit seeing Elvis for that. They had to go out and get guitars and start playing 3-chord rock and roll music. That's what they had to do after seeing Elvis. Others may take a class or have a great teacher. They experience something that wakens them up, and something happens, and it all just falls into place, and their lives are different after that moment. Something like that happened to the dancer named Misty Copeland. Misty Copeland is a ballet dancer for the American Ballet Company. She is one of very few African-American women to be a principal dancer for a major ballet company. And she was, over the last couple of years, she's been featured in the sportswear company Under Armour's commercials. And I read an article about her and found out that she grew up in Los Angeles as one of 6 children. And parts of her life were fairly typical, but other parts of her life was atypical in that she had several stepfathers. She lived in a motel at some point for a time period. And she never took a dance class until she was 13, which most people of her caliber start when they're around 3, so I've read. And she enjoyed dancing to Mariah Carey videos. That was her primary experience of dance, dancing to Mariah Carey videos. And she happened to try out for the middle school drill team, and she danced so well that they not only named her to the drill team, but they made her a captain as well. And then her coach on the drill team suggested that Misty try to take a class at the Boys and Girls Club. And so she began attending that, but also started taking private lessons from the instructor at the Boys and Girls Club. And then one day she says, it just clicked. It just clicked, and I began to understand what it was, this work of ballet and dance. And I just think it's funny how things happen. She liked dancing to Mariah Carey videos and became inspired to go try out for the drill team, and one thing eventually leads to another, and several years later, she is a principal dancer with the American Ballet Company in New York City. Now, how did it become that Steve Jobs became interested in computers and had the abilities to do and inspire wonderful things? You know, Picasso picks up a brush. Serena Williams, her father gives her a tennis racket. It's like they're all grasped by something, a power that is not their own, but that works in and through them, which shakes up their lives and takes them down a particular path. And the circumstances in which they begin aren't necessarily all that great, but they make great success, nevertheless. Well, Paul was grasped by the power of God. Paul didn't do anything to earn it, to earn this revelation of Jesus Christ. He was persecuting the church, trying to destroy the church. Why did God choose Paul? But nevertheless, God grasped him, seized him, took him up into a new life. And this sense of being grasped, that is how the theologian Paul Tillich, 20th century theologian, describes faith. He said it is the state of being grasped by the power of being which transcends everything, in which everything participates. So Paul is seized by this power. And I'd have to say that I think Paul gets a bum rap most of the time. I mean, we all have problems with Paul. I mean, there are problems with Paul. But in his writing, some people find him severe and overbearing, and often he is. They find some of his arguments confusing, and they are, as we'll see next week. But God found the right person in Paul. God found the right person in Paul, despite the circumstances he started in. You know, Paul was a strict Jew. It was a persecutor of the church, but God called him to reach out to the pagan Gentiles. Couldn't have God called a Gentile to do that work? God called someone who is resilient. Paul is incredibly resilient. He could travel all over the Mediterranean area, endure shipwrecks, imprisonments, and beatings. He was the kind of person who could navigate multiple cultures in different locations, in different cities, establish relationships in those cities, and then maintain those relationships over time and distance. He could read. He could write Greek. And God revealed Jesus Christ to him and in him, and everything just clicked. He knew who he was, he knew what he was about, and he went and did it. And it was different than who he was before. And God is constantly reaching out to all of us. We are all here today because we have all somehow been seized by God. It's most likely, though, it's not been through a private revelation of Jesus Christ like Paul had, but nevertheless, God has spoken to each of us, or is still speaking to all of us. And God has made a claim on our lives just as he did Paul's life. And we are all, like Paul, called to reveal Christ in ourselves. One of the things to note about this, Paul says that in this letter that God revealed his son to him. That's the way we normally translate it, but the actual Greek is God revealed Jesus Christ in him. So all of us are here to somehow reveal Jesus Christ in ourselves. And so maybe over the next week we could think about how do we actually reveal Christ in ourselves. And then next week we'll continue this lesson on Galatians and explore in some more detail what God called Paul to do, some of the obstacles he faced, and what Paul says God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.